talk to you about a subject that's very dear to my heart. My wife, thank you, Josh, my wife accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior at Vacation Bible School. And I believe she's about 6 years old. And to that gives me the great responsibility to work hard for Vacation Bible School. I've been a preacher for 45 years. I think I've put on 44 Vacation Bible Schools. And we have tried to learn every year, try to find something better and better and better and gooder, amen, so that we can get these kids to hear about Jesus Christ, having a great time. You got to have something for them to draw them, amen. Even Jesus used a little boy with his fish and barley loaves. And Jesus Christ wants us to draw these children to us so that we can tell them about Jesus Christ. You know, the world has had their chance long enough. I think that's the Church of Christ ought to have a chance to tell, get to say their message and tell about Jesus Christ. Take your Bible to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 is a favorite verse, favorite portion of Scripture of mine. As you know, this morning I spoke on forgiveness, or Dwayne, leave it alone. I have used that quite a few times today already. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, let's stand and read God's Word today. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1. Please listen to that sermon if you get a chance. I'll try to get Bree to get that on the Internet as quick as she can. That's a tremendous sermon that talks about how we need to be very careful that we don't carry those things in our heart. The unforgiveness, amen. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him. I like that. I love kids. Man, this morning I got attacked by, I don't know, 6 or 7 of these kids running around here, ankle biters, amen. And it's always good to see these kids coming, amen, and running towards me. I love them, amen. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. What did the little child do? He humbled himself. And Jesus says, come here, boy. And sometimes children don't really respond to that, do they? But he humbled himself. He came. He did what Jesus asked him. The same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little one in my name, receiveth me. So every child that comes in here to our church, and we're so thrilled about them being here, guess what we're doing? We're receiving Jesus Christ. I think that's a pretty good statement. I think that's something pretty good and very important for us to understand. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Do you see how important a child is to God? I was reading the other day about a fatherless child and the widow. And boy, God said, you mess with one of those widows. You mess with one of them fatherless child. I'm telling you, I know about it. And I will take care of you. Boy, I'll tell you what, he was very stern about that. Moses was writing about it, telling how that God was very stern about it, taking care of the widows and the little ones. We have a vile, vile society. I can't tell you the burden it is upon our police department, our sheriff's office, and the attorneys. General, the trouble that they have to go through for people who are not kind to little children and take advantage of these little ones. And I'm not one to appreciate that, I'll tell you that much. These children are given to you and you're to take care of them. And it's your responsibility to look after them. It's not your responsibility to trust them. It's your responsibility to care for them, to protect them. And you let your child go out and do something with somebody else, God didn't say, well, he said, it's your job to protect them. You got little girls in your house, little boys in your house, you want to be very, very careful. Amen. Some of you military people, you scare me to death. You go home, you don't even know the aunts, their aunts and uncles. You have no idea what they are doing, and say, and you turn them loose because you want just a little bit of relaxation to get away from your kid. Let me tell you something. You better be very careful where your child is. One of the most exciting times at Heritage Baptist Church is unique. Heritage Baptist Vacation Bible School. It is unique. You've never seen anything like it in your life. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us now. Speak to our heart. Lord, speak to our hearts so we may live more like you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the past 34 years of the history of Heritage Baptist Church, and our church will be 34 years in August, right? August 1st, first Sunday of August. We have seen more people saved because of Vacation Bible School than any other single program Heritage Baptist Church has ever put on. Therefore, I dedicate myself to a very fast-paced week. I have given myself, and I pray to God that you will dedicate your life to a very fast-paced week so the Holy Spirit can work through us to fulfill the Great Commission, and that our precious Lord and Jesus Christ gave to his church to win the lost to Jesus Christ at any cost. Heritage Baptist Church uses what we call the Romans Road. It's an effective, simple presentation of the gospel. It stays in one book. Thank you, brother. It stays in one book, the book of Romans. And it is very simple way of telling a child how to know Jesus Christ. Note what Jesus said in Matthew verse 3 there of chapter 18. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little children, he shall not enter therein. Luke chapter 18, verse 17. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Now, the question that I get from a lot of people is that, well, these kids are too young. They might make a, quote-unquote, a false decision. When I was 8 years old, I got baptized. I was no more saved than a goose. But I was led and thought I was doing right. I'm glad that my mama led me and thought it was right to do, and it is right to do, to tell children about Jesus Christ. It may not be that. Hey, I know for sure, beyond a shout out, when I was 14 years old at a youth conference, that I received Jesus Christ my first, without question. But you know what? Sometimes I wonder if I wasn't already saved, but I just wanted to affirm my salvation. I was brought up in a church home. I mean, I brought up in a church that my parents, you know, it wasn't, if we're going to churches, what time we're leaving for church. If the door of the church squeaked, we were there. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, missionary time, missionary conferences, evangelistic meals, Bible conferences, you name it. If it was going on, the church was our number one thing of our home. We have a lot of people today who don't think church is important. Why don't you tell that Jesus when he said that he bought, the price of the church was bought with his blood. Upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen to me. Is it important to go to church? God said the gates of hell can't penetrate it. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, the manner of some is, exhorting one another, and so much the more as to see the emperor. How many of you, be honest with me now, how many of you think Jesus is coming back real soon? Would you raise your hand? Well, if that's true, bless God, you hadn't better miss any service, because the Bible said, not forsaking the assembling. This is church, assembling. The word assembly comes, it means call out assembly of baptized believers. That's what church says, that's what ecclesia is. Call out assembly of baptized believers. And if you believe that Christ is coming back, he said, not forsaking the assembling as a manner of some is. There are some that just forsake it. But exhorting one another as you see the day approaching. Literally, the word exhort from the New Testament means, come to church with me. That's what it means. Just grab them and pull them, amen. We find that in the scriptures where when the two angels came to Lot in Sodom, and they took them out of the city, literally in the Hebrew means literally drug them out. So God said, hey, it's about time some of you start dragging people out to church, getting on the phone. Don't let them forget. Hey, come on, come on, come on. Invite them over to dinner. Say, hey, come on to church and we'll take you out for dinner. Come on over to church and after church we'll have popcorn. Come on over to church and get them involved in church. Most people, listen to me now, when you start going to church and you start getting, you get in this mode of Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, nothing's going to get in the way. Amen of that? But you start dropping off Sunday night and you start dropping off Wednesday night and you have just begun your decline. And there's no telling how far and how deep that you'll go away from God. There are people today that they just don't get it. It's in the Bible. We're supposed to be in church. God said, my son bought this church for you. Now, that sounds like he paid a lot for it. So he wants us to come. What if you, let me ask you this, and I'm not pointing at you, but listen. What if every member of Heritage Baptist Church felt the same way about the church as you feel? What if everybody came at the same time you came? What if everybody does as much work at the church as you do? The question then I'd pose is, how would the church do? If everybody gave financially, people said, churches, all they want is money. Well, that's a funny thing. I went to Walmart the other day, and I picked up some groceries, and they wanted money. And more money than they deserve to get. I went down to get a tire, and they want a lot of money for tires. They didn't even flinch. They said, that'll be $149. That'll be $250. I went out to eat with the family of our church the other night, and the guy didn't even flinch. Told me, he said, give me your card. And he expected me to give him a little bit more, a little bit of gratuity. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Anybody gone to a baseball game lately? I heard it's over $100 for a baseball ticket now. I love baseball. Man, I'd love to go see the Mariners. I really would. I wouldn't even mind go see the Twinkies. But man, oh man, just to go there, kill you. I'd like to go see the Viking football. But I hear those. And of course, they're on Sunday, so I ain't going to go. What does your church mean to you? Do you love your church? Do you love what it does for you? Do you love it that the church is always open? And someone says, hey, preacher, I heard a bunch of churches on Memorial Day weekend, they don't have Sunday night. Well, let me say this. Our sign advertises for Sunday night. So if one person came to this church. And you hadn't seen them for a long time, and we weren't having church tonight. What would they think? Have you ever been by a baseball stadium and nothing's going on? You stop in? No. But I'll tell you what, when there are 20,000, 30,000 fans yelling and screaming, man, you will say, man, I'd like to go in there. There's something going on there, amen? Same with our church. The Roman road shows the sinner four important things that help him to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Number one, it is our responsibility to show every person that we meet that they're a sinner. And I'll be honest, I have fun with this one. I'll say, hey, buddy, let me ask you, are you a sinner? Well, I know I am. You stay around me for 5 minutes, and you find that out. I probably have to be around an hour or two around you, and I find out you're a sinner. Yes, I would. Wouldn't I? Boy, that's a funny story I'd like to tell you, but I don't think I could. It's about the girlfriend that wanted to have a date. No, I'm not going to do it. No. Okay. It talks about a wooden eye. If you ever heard that story, that's pretty good. How many have heard that story? Yeah, all right. When I went here, all right. All right. So number one, show them you're a sinner. Show them they're a sinner. Now, for a child, that's really tough. You get a 5-year-old or 6-year-old, have you ever sinned? No. You know why they say no? Give me an answer. Why don't they say no, Jonah? That's right, brother. Yeah, all right, yeah. Are you a sinner? No, why? First thing. So we got to get them to understand that they're sinners. It's very important that he or she acknowledges their sinful condition. And for the most part, how sinful can a 5 or 6-year-old child be? Oh, yeah? You haven't met some of these 5 and 6-year-olds. You got sinners in your house? Huh? What are some of the sins that they would do?
Disobedience.
Huh?
Lying?
Your sweet little boys? Anthony! Marcus! How about Logan?
Get mad at each other?
They don't get mad at each other, do they?
Just strike each other?
Throw things at each other?
Take each other's toys?
How many of you kids ever did that? You're not going to get in trouble. Just raise your hand. See, this little girl, she's a wonderful little girl. She raised her hand. The other ones are not me. Jackson? Yeah, me. That's me, man. And leave my toy alone. So, What am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing tonight? Teaching you how to what? Lead child of order. We want them to know that that is wrong. That's from the old Adamic nature. This thing that we pass on from daddy and mama to our children. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In that, God said, he made man. And he said to man, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And so the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. I go up to Anthony and I say, Anthony, have you ever sinned? What did he say? Yeah, he knows. Yeah. I've had some of these kids, I'm telling you, flat out in your face, I have never sinned. Most girls will do that. I have never sinned. My first thing is, can I ask your mama? And they'll say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. So we want them to get to know that they have a condition called sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're not perfect, are we? So we need to get them to know that they're sinners. We need to get them. I don't mean putting the lamp down on their face and dripping the water on their head. I'm not talking about that, you know. I'm not talking about the waterboarding and things like that. But that would be that ought to be one. Listen, we do not want to hurt these precious children. You understand? We're not here to hurt them. We're not here to get numbers. We're here to literally love Jesus into them and to realize that Jesus loved them so much. He had to die for their sins. And we want them to understand that there is a condition called sin. And all of us have it. Secondly, I just want to, it's very important that he acknowledge his lost condition. Ask him if he realizes the lost sinners. Now, trust God to convict him in that fact. The soul winning is a Holy Spirit work. Amen. It's a Holy Spirit that brings conviction to our hearts. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that what was lost. He's looking for you. You're not looking for him. He's looking for you. When you're a lost sinner, he's looking for you, and you come to this child, and you allow the Holy Spirit to work. By the way, you may just miss most of the Bible memory, but you're doing Bible memory. You're telling them about vacation. You're telling them about Jesus Christ. That's why we have Heritage Baptist Church Vacation Bible School. That's why I will put everything I can into it. That's why you will put everything in. You will leave dishes unwashed at home. You will leave clothes on the floor. You will do everything so you can be here on time at 6:35, so you need to be in the staff meeting. And you are going to come home huffing and puffing and running around and try to get everything cleaned up, but it will probably not work. But what's the worth of a soul? What's the worth of a Marcia Fry? What's the worth of a little girl at 6 years old that realizes that she needs Jesus? What's the worth of a Logan Rogers and a Jackson Donahue? What's the worth for them? Or Anthony? Come on, Lord. What's the worth of them? So we're begging God that the Holy Spirit works in us. Amen? We're working out. Number two, show them the price of sin. Show them the price of sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. You don't have to get gory here. You don't have to scare the daylights out of them, but life and death is a true thing that happens in this world. Dying. But the idea is death spiritually. Death and hell. Point out to him the terrible consequences of being a lost sinner. Every person ought to understand a little about the future punishment that mankind has because of Adam and Eve. Number three, show him that Jesus paid the debt on the cross. But God commendeth his love towards us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Explain how Christ died on the cross for him. Tell him that the great love of God for sinners in giving us his only begotten Son to die, and emphasize that Jesus Christ died on the cross to take care of our punishment for our sins. Explain that to him. Explain that Jesus Christ did it all. I like what Brother Gibbons used to do at our church. He used to give quarters away to children and accept Christ as their personal Savior. He'd give them a quarter. He says, is that yours? He says, yeah. Well, so what is it? It's a gift. Am I asking you to give it back? No. It's a gift. It's yours. You can have it. At Brother Gibbons, he led 1,000 kids to the Lord. I worked him over a little bit when he first came here, and I took him to the Indian Reservation up in Browning, Star School. And that's where he led his first child to the Lord. It's the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. And because of that, he led over 1,000 kids to the Lord. At that time, we honored him, and I gave him another jug of 1,000 quarters. And if you were at his funeral, you remember getting one of those quarters. I still have mine. So show him that Jesus paid the debt on the cross. Number four, show him that he must receive Christ by an act of faith. He puts a quarter out, and the child takes it. That's by faith. Anybody ever offered you something, you kind of like, and then you said, well, okay, and you took it. That was you initiating your faith process. When you came in and sat down on a chair, you had faith that thing will hold you. Some of you don't have to worry about it. I have to. I exercise great faith. Laugh. It was funny. How does he do that? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from dead, thou shalt be saved. 10:10. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. Point out that since Christ had died for his sin, all he must do is open his heart and receive Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I have died for you. I want to be your Savior. And all they have says, I want you to be my Savior, Lord. Isn't that simple? That's a simple thing. And by the way, it works for old people too, doesn't it? Huh? Works for old people. Make clear that even though Jesus has already died for our sins, he must still ask forgiveness as an act of faith. There's a lot of churches out there that say, well, Jesus already died, so he already gave you salvation. No. It is a personal experience. It is like your birthday. My birthday is January 20th. That's when my mother gave birth to me. Happy day, happy day. The world all shouted glory, hallelujah. And I got born. Amen. And every 20th of January, I go back to that thought and think of my mother and how she almost went to death just to give birth to this honored little farm boy. It was personal. January 20th is personal to me. What's your birthday?
September 27th.
23rd, September. That's a personal day to you. Josh?
April 8th.
Personal day to you. Now all the rest of you have a birthday, I think, unless some of you came out from the cabbage patch. But anyway, all of us have a personal day. Don't you? If you didn't, I just wasted all my time making that calendar out there, because good night, there's a lot of June people got babies. I mean, had babies, amen. But that's a personal experience. And that's why when Jesus Christ was talking to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And what's Nicodemus said, how can that be? I'm an old guy. I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born again. Jesus said, you must be born of the water and the spirit. The water illustrating the natural birth. When a child is born, the water comes. And then the baby's born. And then the spiritual. That's when you realize that you are a sinner and you are dead and you have no life in you, and you call upon the name of the Lord and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. I need a Savior. I need someone to get me out of this place. Alive, spiritually. So, go over it once again with him. All have sinned. Do you realize you're a sinner? Do you know what the price of sin is? Do you realize the price to pay for your sin is hell? Can you pay that price? Can't pay that price. There is no way. And then number three, Jesus paid the price. Do you believe that Jesus paid this horrible price for you? They have to affirm that. They have to say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Yes, they have to believe that. That's part of it. This is not some hocus-pocus thing. This is what the Bible says. Then, number four, he must receive the gift by faith. Will you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins and ask him to come in your heart? Will you believe that he died and rose on the third day? And will you accept his gift of salvation? Simplicity. Salvation is simple. My goodness, all the things that goes along with it is unbelievable, but the simple act of salvation is amazing. It's amazing. How then you can bow your head and immediately you are a son of God. You are a priesthood of the believer. You are one who God loves so much that he gave his only son for. Now, I want to give you some dangers about dealing with children. Some dangers. Number one, emotion with no motion towards God. Hey, kids, you want to do this? Hey, how about some candy? Let's go upstairs and go to candy. Hey, look at them, all them kids. What's the deal? That's emotion. Somebody said food. Somebody said candy. If you just get out of that seat, walk up here and get baptized, you'd be a member of our church. Whoa. There's a danger in that. We don't want to give them any faults. We preach against the cults, don't we? We preach and say, hey, those people say, the only way you can get saved is by doing this, and doing this, and not doing this, and not doing this. No, Jesus says the only way you get saved is by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simple. Simple, but there are some dangers. Emotion with no motion towards God. A child has to be saved the same way everybody gets saved. Everybody needs to get saved. Everybody needs to realize they're a sinner, and because they're a sinner, they owe a terrible price. And there is a Christ who is the Savior of this world who would invite you to come into your heart, and all you have to do is ask him by faith, and he'll save you. That's how I got saved. That's how you got saved. That's how Josh got saved. Koistel got saved. Charles got saved. Jonah got saved, and the rest of you. That's how you got saved. Children have to be saved the same way adults. Number two, a skilled and dramatic speaker can play upon the emotions of a child. I'm not here to get numbers. I'm here to tell a little one, a treasured gift of God, one who God said, don't you dare hurt. And you hurt one of these little ones, it'd be better to put a rope around your neck with a millstone and cast in the deepest sea. That sounds pretty serious. Number three, every child has a distinct personality. Now remember, we're talking about dangers here. Some children, you'll see them around the church. They may be 5 years old, but you figure they're about 10. There's a little boy lives up by Chad and Marsh's house, and he's a little ranch boy. And I'm gonna tell you something. That kid is probably about 6 or 7, but you would swear that kid is 16 or 18 years old. He can jump on a tractor. He can jump on a horse. He can fix anything, wire anything, duct tape anything. Buddy, he is a real rancher. But I've also seen some kids that were 7 years old. I think they're still on the bottom. That's the intellect of kids. You don't put that child down. It's okay. Some kids just don't mature like others do. And I should say to that child, son,
I love you the way you are.
Amen. You and I would explain to that child, God makes us all different. Aren't you glad there's different people?
Yep.
Aren't you glad there's not all Sheldon Shears in this world?
Have mercy.
Mrs.
Ortiz,
amen.
Aren't you glad there's not all Jim Donahue's? Can you imagine the world of Jim Donahue's and Sheldon Shearer? Oh my goodness. That's a misnomer, like grape nuts. No grapes and no nuts in them, amen. So, intellect. Understand some children are older than others. And please go home to your child and that they haven't matured. Listen, when I was growing up, I was 20 and I shaved once a week in college. Some of these other bearded nimrods, my goodness, they look like gorillas. Not me, man. I had two hairs, one for me and one for my girlfriend. That was it. We didn't discover that until I was 22 and got married. She was 19, amen. But the serious point is this. Some children just are not there. You know, I mean, you look in and there's nobody home. They're for the cookies, man. They're for the juice. They're to throw darts at the balloon. They really don't give a rip about anything else going on. They'll miss the bus. They'll just, if you ain't watching them, man, they'll be going someplace else. So understand, remember, one of the dangers is the intellect. Some children don't get it. Other children will. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your heart? Does God know our thoughts? Absolutely. Secondly, the emotions. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? That emotion. Some people, when I see them get saved, they get so tickled. Some people just weep and cry. It's an emotional thing. It's something very definite. Some people are very stoic. Father, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. You saved? Yes, sir. How do you know you're saved? Because the Bible says it's saved. I'm saved. That's it. And then you hear that. Oh, preacher. Oh, God just cleansed my heart. I'm so through. Oh, I just feel so light. I just feel the... Hey, you know what? Leave it alone. They got saved. I'm glad there's people like that. It's just like at a wedding. You ever see those, some of the girls come up, they walk up the aisle and they're weeping. Yeah, they know what they're in for, amen. And they're crying, they get up there. You know. And then there are just giddy ones. Then there's, I will. He better. Number three, the will. O generation vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. So you got to watch the will. What is their will? Is their will to just get it over with? There's some dangers here. You need to really be careful. Number four, all three, the heart involves the whole personality of man. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God will give us that. These little ones will accept it. Now, salvation by formula. Here's another danger. Series of affirmative answers to a number of leading questions after which the child assures that he is a Christian. I call that polyparroting. Polly, want a cracker? You know. You heard what about the 200-pound parrot said, didn't you? Come here, kitty. All right. Polyparroting. I can do that with my wife a lot. I'll just ask her a question, and she'll answer me. Same thing. I'll say in the morning, how are you? And she said, how are you? I said, I'm fine. She said, I'm fine. You want to go to the bathroom? You want to go to the bathroom? You want to get up? You want to get up? It never ends sometimes. So be careful parenting. Make sure that this is their day of salvation. Amen. Don't take advantage of their unsuspecting nature. You'd never get away with that with a teenager. Beware of having them hold up their hand. Oh, hey, children, how many of Jesus asked Jesus in your heart? Raise your hand. Yeah, I got people raising their hand for what? You know, look at them. They're all over the place. You can't do that. You got to be careful with them, amen. If you see some children that are not sure, then take them aside, amen. At our vacation Bible school, we'll have people, train people to tell people about Jesus Christ. You bring them out by the door, they'll work with them, amen. Give opportunity for children to step forward with other children with their head bowed and eyes closed. Give opportunity for children to remain behind after the service. Ask them questions to determine understanding. Why did you come? That's the first thing I did when I was 14 years old. Came down this long aisle, walked up there and preached. What did you come for? I said, I came to get saved. I've had them come for. I said, what did you come for? I got to go to the bathroom, man. Why do you want to get saved? That's another good question. Why do you want to get saved? Everybody else is doing it. No, that doesn't count. It's got to be a personal thing. How do you think you can get saved? That's a great question. How do you think you can get saved? I think you can go to heaven. What has God done to save you? That's a good question. I'm not trying to scare these kids. I just want to make sure that I do my proper job doing it. Amen. Why do you need salvation? If he is not prepared to answer the question, take him through the Romans Road and use much care, being ethical and proper in your dealing with their children. Honor their parents. There may be someone in our church, child comes forward, and I say, hey, wait a minute. Go take them to Mom and Daddy. You say, but Daddy and Mama are teaching us Sunday school class. You know what? They can always teach a Sunday school class, but they can't always lead their son or daughter to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm very careful about that. You too. You be careful at Heritage Baptist Church. I had a family, their child came forward and made a profession of faith. And then one day, and I made sure the family took care of it. The second day they said, no, Pastor, we want you to talk to our boy about Jesus. That's okay. That's fine. I have no problem with that. I'm not into the popularity contest, okay? I'm into getting people out of hell and get them into heaven. And that's what your job is. That's why you will give up that from the 12th into the 18th of that time that you could be using for yourself, because you owe a price. Your price was that somebody called you, somebody led you to the Lord, and you owe it to somebody else to tell them about Jesus Christ. Use much care, being ethical. If it is apparent that the child is simply not ready, don't force the decision. Have a word of prayer with them. Thank God for them. Praise the Lord for them, because it won't be long. God knows our heart. And I hope you be careful when you lead children to Jesus Christ. I hope you'll do it. This church is probably the first time you ever lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Be the first time. Now, of course, you and I know that we're supposed to be telling people about Jesus Christ every day. Amen? We know that, right? We're supposed to be passing out the tracts. We're supposed to be inviting people to church. We're supposed to be inviting them to Jesus Christ. But that usually doesn't happen. But at Vacation Bible School, you don't have to be timid when it comes to this little boy who says, I want Jesus in my heart. So I hope that you'll be faithful. Hope you'll come. I hope you'll work your hardest at Vacation Bible School. It is the grandest thing to see little boys get saved. Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege. Lord, I may be speaking to someone here today that has never made a personal time in their life that they have received you as their Savior. Oh, God, I pray tonight that they would. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and say, preacher, you know what? I'm not saved. I've never asked Jesus in my heart. I thought that Jesus died on the cross, therefore everybody got it. No, it's a personal thing. It's just like your birthday. There should be a time in your life and a birth date in your life of salvation that says, this is the day I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If you do not have that, I beg you tonight that you receive Him. Father in heaven, would you please be with us tonight as the Holy Spirit is. Lord, if there's anyone here not sure they're saved, that tonight would be the night. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here, say, preacher, I have never made a personal, and made it personal, that I receive a Savior. And I need to do that. Would you lift your hand right now? I will not embarrass you, but I want to help you. I want to pray for you. Has there been a time in your life that you can put a date on the day that you received Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Now, you could be like me. I remember it was in 1961 in the spring. I don't know the date, but I remember it so clearly how I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Are you saved tonight? Is He your Savior? Is He your personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you asked Jesus to come in and live forever in your heart and to take you to heaven when you die? If you say, preacher, there has not been a personal time. I've said it many times, but there's not been really personal. I want that tonight. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not done it. Why don't you right there sitting? Will you just pray this prayer? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart, save me right now. If you prayed that prayer, would you lift your hand right now? God bless you. Anyone else? If you'd like to talk to me after the service, I'd love to do that. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to you in your life. I promise you that. Oh, God, I pray for these who have raised their hands tonight and asked you to come into their heart. I pray, Father, that you would show your love to them in such a magnificent way that they would be astounded and awed of your grandeur and your mercy and your truth. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being here with us. For, Lord, you said that no one does unless you're here. Here's a proof of it. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand your feet. If you're here tonight and you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I would love to take my Bible, this Word of God, and show you what the Bible says that happens in your heart, your life. I would love to do that. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Or tonight, I prayed that prayer today, and I want you to show me in the Bible what it's all about. Why don't you come at this time? Just step out of the seat, walk down out. There'll be people next to you. Just say, excuse me. They'll get out of your way. We do this all the time at our church. Hey, listen, I was in the youth conference, 2,000 kids, and my mother, I was 14, and my mother sat next to me. I didn't know what to do, and I just finally says, I'm going. And I busted down the aisle. I beat the organist to the seat of that organ. I come down. I almost knocked the preacher over. I was running so fast. And he said, man, what you coming for? I said, I want to get saved. Why don't you come? Let us help you and be a blessing to you. I'll tell you right now, if you ask Jesus in your heart, He's there. And He'll be there forever. That's His promise to you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call on, He'll save you. That's His promise. You're tonight and you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. Preacher, we want to follow Lord and Believers Baptist. Why don't you come at this time? Now, Heavenly Father, we do ask you and we thank you for those who trust you as your Savior tonight. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would work in our hearts and our lives. Thank you, Lord. for the simplicity of salvation. Lord, thank you for the grandeur of salvation. Lord, I pray now that you bless and help us as we go to over to building number 2 and eat. Lord, we want to thank you for that food right now and appreciate those who've done so much work to get it here and supplied it for us. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord God, I pray you'd help us now as we go about our business. Help us to be faithful to our Vacation Bible School and think about things every day, about bringing things to the church that we can put on the general store. And, Lord, I pray as we think of those days that we're going to work here, we're going to work our best so these little ones can be converted to come to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you're dismissed.